You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Ann and After Show. We got Jamie and James are both here. This is our podcast / live show that happens on Mondays, every Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 Eastern. And today we're going to be breaking down episode 70, Deceiver. But before we get into that, Jackie, I like your shirt. Where'd you get that?
Oh my gosh, I got it at our merch store. I'm so excited. I actually got two shirts. I got this really cute white one, and the designs are totally off the chain. Like, I was like, oh my God, I love what we got here. Also, if y'all don't already, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube page. You follow us on social media. On Twitter, we're over 900,000 followers, y'all.
That's crazy.
Like, I just saw that. So I'm like, okay. Anime News Network, but yes, make sure you follow us on all that jazz. But I'm excited. This episode was wild. So
yeah. Not a lot of action this time around, but definitely a lot of developments.
A lot of feelings.
Yes, a lot of emotion. But before we start that, we will have a couple of headlines to go over. First, I don't know if y'all watched, but Crunchyroll had their anime awards last Friday. And Jujutsu Kaisen came up on top as anime of the year. I don't know. Is anyone surprised by that? I'm not really surprised. I mean, yeah. I'm not arguing that it earned it. Like, it's been amazing top to bottom. James here does our reviews for that show on Anime News Network. Yeah. And I've been, you know, I read them. It sounds like it's highlight of your weekly viewing, James.
I mean, I love it. Yeah. Attack on Titan is probably the highlight of my weekly viewing, just in regards to like how much fun it is to write about, but goddamn, Jujutsu Kaisen is just a lot of fun to watch. Like, you know, Attack on Titan can get a little heavy, can get a little you know, emotionally devastating. Yeah. Jujutsu Kaisen lets you watch like a panda beat up a robot, and then also have a girl beat up a witch with a squeaky hammer toy. It's a perfect show.
That's what I'm getting at.
I love JJK so much. So. Yeah. I'm not going to lie, though. I was looking over the winners, and Dorohedoro got robbed. Like, yeah, how did they not win one category?
I know.
How did they not win one?
I know. Like, I really was rooting for Noi for, like, best girl, because I thought she was amazing as far as best girl. So, in my heart, she's the best girl of 2020. Like,
well, this is maybe a little hypocritical of me to say, since I also haven't caught up on it yet. But I felt like it was weird how that seemed like one of the most hyped shows of the season, and then I kind of feel like it didn't really get a lot of traction.
I know. I felt the same way. I think it's that Netflix model. That binge model. Just, I mean, anime viewers, they want it when it comes out in Japan, and then they want to talk about it week to week to week. Drop it all at once, people, you know, watch it in like 24 hours or in a couple days, and then they say a couple things over Twitter for a week, and then it's kind of dead. I mean, there was a lot of really good fan art that came out of it. I mean, there was a good like fan art momentum going for it, but I just like, I would have loved to do more deep diving episode by episode with people. That one would have been really good for the daily streaming guide, but
yeah.
Well, I feel like if
that anime so much, Lindsay, you and I, that like just played to our like 90s grunge,
yeah,
dark, gory hearts. Like I was like, what is this? Like when that dropped, like I could not stop messaging her about it, but
yeah,
I totally agree. Like it just didn't get that much hype, but I'm still surprised. Like there were so many different categories that I thought that maybe would just at least win one thing, but it just,
yeah.
Sound like,
yeah.
I feel like if WandaVision has proved anything, and I've, you know, anime fans have known this for years, but when you have that week to week model, like with Attack on Titan, mm-hmm. you get so much more engagement because everyone gets yeah. to like talk about it at the same time, at the same pace. I mean, mm-hmm. you can just binge the whole thing on Netflix, like you said, Lindsay. It becomes yeah. so easy to just, you know, get it done in a day, you know, tweet a couple things and then move on to the next piece of content. So yeah. maybe that's why.
Another thing with the, I mean, I felt like one of the most complicated, not complicated, but like the category that had the most contention between, I didn't really know who was going to pull ahead and it was really hard to pick, was actually like opening sequence and ending sequence. Like, I don't disagree with the who won, but I mean, the same, like same year that Easy Breezy came out for...
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like,
yeah.
And that opening sequence was iconic. Like people were doing all kinds of memes for the yeah. poses and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were just a lot of really good opening ending sequences.
I think Beastars might have gotten it just because of that awesome yeah. stop motion animation
yeah.
that it had.
Exactly. Yeah,
just edged it out for yeah. Isaac Henn. Because, man, that one was so good too. Yeah. But.
Yeah. Wasn't it the same artist who ended up winning though? And which is funny because it's Ali for Beastars, and then it's also Ali for Jujutsu Kaisen. But those songs don't sound alike. At all,
they have like a jazz kind of funk to them a little yeah. bit, but they are very different. Yeah. Like, yeah, Beastars is yeah. very moody.
Yeah, yeah. Beastars, I guess, is more classical as far as like the arrangement or
yeah.
something for it. But yeah, yeah, I was rooting for Easy Breezy. Well, I was rooting for Aizouken for pretty much everything, and also I guess disclosure. I was a judge for the Anime Awards, so I got to like submit things for the categories and stuff, and I pushed really hard in the best boy category. Jackie will disagree with me on this one. She actually didn't like the show, but I wanted Moriarty to win best boy like really bad, just to like kind of upset the status quo. I'm like, yes, go communist murder child, go.
So evil. So evil. James,
it's a matter of ideology, I guess.
I know that. So
Jackie,
I
think like he murdered his brother, and I'm like, didn't he deserve it?
Lindsay, like, you are cracking me up because we were during last episode, I was yeah. like, wow, they poisoned that guy because he was like talking a little bit of smack at him about him at the dinner table. And Lindsay was like, yes, that's the appropriate punishment. You will be poisoned to death.
I was like, surprised there was no follow-up on that. I was expecting there to be like a follow. Well, they did a little bit. Okay, I guess I should wait till we get to the episode.
Yeah.
They did mention that restaurant briefly in the episode too. And like, is everyone gonna go there and get murdered? Like, is Niccolo like running a murder restaurant
and
killing all of his customers or something by poisoning them? But that just might be me making things up in my head.
The Sweeney Todd of Attack on Titan.
Yeah, Sweeney Todd. I was like, oh Lord. Yeah. I don't know. Overall, though, I thought the picks were like pretty solid. Like there was like, I was like, okay, I can see that. Like best boy, we all love Hinata. Kaguya for best girl. Fruits Basket, you can never go wrong with. So I thought it was like pretty much on the nose. But I don't know. Was there anything on there that shocked you all? Or were you like, yeah, that's how I felt.
I think the best couple category was actually kind of weak this year overall. So I wasn't really rooting for like any of the couples in particular. I guess the Tonikawa one is okay.
Which was that the one where the guy like got hit by a car and then married a girl after like one day? Is that the same? Okay.
Yes,
I forgot that show existed.
Well, yeah. I mean, so that show, it's by the same person who did Hayate the Combat Butler, which like ran for like a ton of seasons, like more seasons than I would have expected. And the manga ran for a really, really long time for what is essentially like a slapstick harem thing where a poor boy becomes a rich girl's butler and so does his sister becomes her maid or something like that. But so it's by the same guy who did that. And as far as I could tell, like there wasn't a lot of like fire between the two, you know, like not like how you feel with Izumi and Hori in Hori. Did you watch that yet, Jackie?
No.
I recommended Hori Miya to you.
When we talked about Valentine's. No. I want to watch
the hot guy.
Yes, the guy who's like Toru, but a dude, right?
Yeah.
But he's got like an edgy, like emo, like gothic thing going on. How have I not?
It's egg time.
All right.
Yeah, okay. it's the egg time guy. Yeah. The latest episode of that is pretty spicy. So
is like, it?
Yeah, they're gonna definitely win best couple for the upcoming awards. They gotta, because it's
oh my
like
God.
Their dynamic is so good, and then there's, you know, the tension that you need, but also like it's the first time in a long while where the couple actually seems to progress at what you would assume to be a
yeah, they're like an actual couple.
Like an yeah, like it's not just oh, they're gonna hold my hand sort of thing. Like yeah. She's like, hey, why don't you make moves on me? And I'm like, what? And then ooh. He's like, oh, well, do you want me to? And I'm like, what? And then it gets spicier from there. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay. So like Lindsay knows this. Like I'm not really into romantic anime like at all. I kind of liked Kaguya-sama because it was almost like an action anime, the way they built it up. You know what I mean? Like it'd be like... Yeah. Back and forth, and it almost seemed like
a battle an of action
sequence. Yeah, yeah exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I watched Fruits Basket, and then I was like, "Oh my god, I love like." I mean, is Fruits Basket a romance anime? It's kind of like
slice of life. They would call it like a romantic drama.
Okay,
because there's a lot of emotional developments and characters dealing with their traumas and whatnot, and opening up to each other. Yeah. So you know, it makes you cry, and you're like, yeah. "Oh no, what's gonna happen next?" It's got an actual villain in it.
Yeah. Fruits Basket sold me. So like, if you think it's similar to Fruits Basket, I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. But usually,
I would say that it's not as high drama. Like there is drama in it, but maybe not as high stakes as Fruits Basket. But there's definitely like character drama in it, like girls trying to sort of figure out themselves in high school, and you know, all the characters have their own insecurities and things like that they're trying to work through. But so you really, there's not a character in that show that I don't like, which is
I love
that teacher, but I don't even know if he counts. So
yeah, oh yeah, I don't remember last time I saw him either. So
good.
Yeah.
He's like, bye, see ya. Oh lordy. Okay. So this week in games was packed with stuff.
Right, because there was that huge Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
And so I was looking through those announcements because, you know, I'm kind of a casual gamer type. Like Jackie, I know you play like first person shooters and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm horrible at those. I'm really bad. And then I get like worked up when I'm when there's like a lot of tension. So I know some people are into that, you know, like the high, like, oh God, we're going to make it. You know, you do, and you're like, ah, oh, yeah. But for me, I'm like, oh God, I just want to explore town and no one rush me. I just want to like talk to all the villagers and see what their lives are like and help them with their errand. Like I play those kinds of games or like mystery games or like, I got to figure out who did it or something like that. So that's typically what I play. So then when I looked at, when I looked at Heidi's column this week, there's a thing about these like really obscure detective club games.
Yeah.
They were on like, I don't know if they were on floppy disk, but I mean, they were really expensive in Japan and they've never been released over here. They're called Famicom Tante Club, and Tante is just the Japanese word for detective. Mm-hmm. And they're getting totally remade and they're released on the Switch, which sounds exactly like my bag, and they're gonna be totally like voice acted. And Heidi compared them to like the Ace Attorney games, which is like one of my favorite game series. So
as soon as I saw that, I knew you were gonna like that one. Like, as soon as I read the article, I was like, Lindsay's gonna love this one.
Yeah, for real. So I'm pretty stoked about that. And then I'm intrigued by Project Triangle Strategy because it looks like Octopath Traveler, which I like. But, you know, by the same company that does Final Fantasy and everything. So, and I do like turn-based RPGs. It's another thing, like, I don't play tactical RPGs because I'm bad at planning that far ahead because I'm an Aries. And so I only do things, like, immediately when it seems like the right idea. I'm like, I'm going to go jump off that cliff and I will look down later. And so I lose at tactical games because I always just go full offense. I don't understand defense in games. Don't make me block and stuff. I don't want to do that. I just want to slash and slash and slash until it dies.
That's the Aries in us 100%. And that's why I like first-person shooters because I'm just like, I run in and I'm just like, die. But it's funny, actually, because the two you picked out, I actually thought looked really, really good. I do love first person shooters, but I love a good story too. Mm-hmm. And Triangle Strategy just like hit all of the like nostalgia points, I guess you could say. Like, yeah, it just took me back looking at it, and it just looked really beautiful as well. And then the Famicom just looks cool. I mean, it's just an anime, but you're playing through it. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what it looked like to me, you know? So I was like, that looks dope. I'm also a weirdo, and I never really got into Mario Golf. Like, I know there was like probably a ton of hype around that, and I was just like, okay, cool, you know? And I'm also weird on this. I did not like Breath of the Wild. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. That's actually one of the few like Zelda games I haven't.
You would love Breath of the Wild because you got to go around and talk to the people. And,
I know, but
I'm going to go to the next mission. Why am I still riding this horse through this field and I have to talk to this guy to get to this guy? So it was like not my cup of tea at all. So,
but I'm also bad at like revealing all my gaming shame. I'm also bad at like sandbox games, which is what Breath of the Wild is, because I'm a completionist. So I feel like I have to pick up all the quests, and then I have a really hard time like figuring out which one to do. And then I'll go do it and then get distracted off like some side quest and then have to come back. My husband calls it Donkey Konging, because when we were in college, we decided to do a replay of Donkey Kong 64, because he had a Nintendo 64. And we decided to replay it, and it was really painful to play with, because in that game you can switch between like Diddy and Trixie and all the characters at different points, and if you want to get everything you have to get all of the bananas, but certain bananas you can only pick up with certain characters. So I'd like see it, like I'd be playing as Diddy and then I'd see like a Dixie banana, and I'd have to run back and change to Dixie so that I could go get that banana and then come back, and Matt would be like, Lindsay, quit Donkey Konging, you've got to like finish the one thing and we can come back and do the other thing later. I'm like, no,
oh my God,
I've seen it now. I need to go do that part. Yeah. So,
Lindsay, you're just giving me such flashbacks. I was like, oh my God, Donkey Kong 64. That was a lifetime ago, man.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Just remembering the rap at the beginning of that game, which is like
the what?
The Donkey Kong rap at the beginning of that game. It's like the most popular song.
I probably wrote like it'd probably like click if I heard the beginning of it, but I can't like recall.
I can hear the gibberish sounds of the lyrics, but I don't even want to attempt it because I'm going to ruin it, but it's great. You should look it up. It'll get stuck in your head.
James is like, go Google that.
Yeah.
Everyone in our chat right now is talking about Animal Crossing. I'm sure, Lindsay, were you?
I played Animal Crossing every single day from the day that it was released to about mid-August. It came out in March, so I played it every day from like, it was like part of my daily ritual until about mid-fall, and they weren't giving me the fall decor fast enough. I wanted all the mushroom stuff and they weren't giving it to me, and I finally got bored, so I noped out right before Halloween. And now it's been so long, I'm like, no, I've missed all the best holidays. I need to reset the clock on my Switch and go play it from where I left off at, instead of just picking it up and restarting, because
your villagers are lonely. They're like,
there's probably so many weeds too.
Oh, girl, you're gonna have some work to do. I do not like those games either, except for one thing. I love gardening in those games.
Oh, I
don't know why. It's so weird. Like, I don't like talking to the villagers. I don't like building the house. I just make a dope garden, like over the top meadow, every single color, every single type of flower. If anyone ever wants to go to my island, which is definitely wrecked right now because I haven't been on that game in like months, but like that's the only thing I've ever like Harvest Moon and Stardew Valley and all those, like I just love gardening, but it's so weird. It's like, why just that?
Well, I was gonna say I could, every time I've tried to get into Animal Crossing I end up getting bored after like a few hours, and I think it's because the game has so many of those obnoxious kind of unnecessary hurdles to do things.
You know, like what do they call it, like the time when you can't do like certain things until, because it like it actually made it like when you first started it, like you couldn't get the full game experience until you'd been playing for like 3 or 4 days, because it was like, no, we're not giving you this tool yet.
Just like how like in order to craft something, you have to go through like 3 different menus, and every button press is like a little delay and a little animation. It really like irks me. But yeah. Stardew Valley has kind of been my ideal like farming sim. I've really gotten into that game quite a bit on the Switch. That's like the farming sim for me, I think.
My oldest son was obsessed with that game for like, I don't know, 9 months. He went from like Minecraft to like Stardew Valley to Terraria, and then he like rotates through them depending.
Well, they just came out with a giant expansion, a free expansion for Stardew Valley. So
yeah, I know, he told me all about it.
Yeah.
They have islands now.
Yeah.
Beach life or something in there. So
that's cute. Yeah. The other thing I was excited about was Samurai Warriors, just because the two main characters are just perfection.
I know what they look like without even seeing them.
I know. I was just like, I mean, it just looks like an anime, but they're just like so beautiful. I was like, I wouldn't even know what I was doing. I'd just be slashing stuff and destroying stuff. This game caters to me so much. Like, it was just beautiful men and just a bunch of violence. I was like, cool. Like,
I'm here. Related to like the Dynasty Warrior games, right?
Yes.
This is like Chinese history versus, So I used to play the Dynasty Warrior games with my little brother. Yeah. All the time. And I would always pick like one of the, there was, I think, a girl who had like, they were like circular things on sticks.
Yeah.
I would always like play her or the one.
I vaguely remember her. Yeah.
Or the one with, I think she had fans that she would throw. Like she had range weaponry that like knocked. But I like those games because you just run into like 30 something people and you're like, I'm killing all of you. You can't do anything about it. And you do like a giant combo and then like you're special and then you hop on a horse, you slice people on your horse and it's just,
that caters to our Aries hearts very much.
Yeah, just like just that destruction. I don't have there are no tactics to those games. It's just button mashing and dopamine, pretty much.
Yep. I'm here for that. Did you guys ever get into Splatoon? I never got into Splatoon.
I played it a little bit, but
I never got into it. So I was like, is there a lot of hype about it or
people like Splatoon? Like the characters I think are really cute. Like I think the character design was really like, you know, I would like buy plushies of them or something, even though I haven't played the game, just like the character design. But I mean, it's, you know, it's like not paintball, but because it's more like a water gun.
It has a nice, like a different tactical feel to it than your typical like third person shooter.
Yeah.
So it's the people that are into that game are really
exactly.
Into it.
Yeah. So, that's why I was wondering if you guys were the people like who were like super into it. Cause
no,
like,
I'm sure there's like a learning curve to it. I would just be like splatted up against a wall or something.
Apex Legends is the only multiplayer shooter I've really gotten into in the, over the past few years. So
James, look at you.
That's my game.
We're gonna play later. I've been Call of Duty Warzone like crazy though. Anyway, we digress, but man, that was a lot.
Yeah.
Going through the Crunchyroll Awards and Nintendo Direct, I was like, phew, there's a lot to talk about there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, those are pretty stuff. Also, we got, there's a cool new app that ties into what we're going to be talking about. I don't know if you, like, people in chat have tried it, but there's an Instagram/Facebook app that Funimation just released that's an Attack on Titan AR filter. So James, Jackie, and I tried it out, and Peter from Anime NYC is going to show the images there.
Who's that handsome fella?
Oh my god.
That's Aaron, right? That's Aaron.
Oh my god, that is hilarious. I can't. These are so silly. So silly. James wins, though. James is like the best.
Yeah.
And then Lindsay. Yes!
Oh, I'm so mad.
That's like the perfect like Attack on Titan like look.
That general anger.
Actually, it had the filter where instead of it being like Aaron's eyes, it's just the lines underneath.
I was thinking the same thing, just the shading.
So just the shading, so we could just look like this all the time.
Okay, so James and I were talking about this. So there was another part of this filter where you could like flip the camera and then you would see the armored Titan like on stuff, and I was very confused.
That's probably the AR part of it, the augmented reality part of it.
Apparently they got James's cat.
They did. Ryder,
how dare you? How dare you?
I'll never
forget
him. Kevin
wasn't bothered at all.
Well, no, I mean, you know, he's an unstoppable force. Ryder's not doing anything to him.
Yeah, the cat was like, all right, can you get your foot off me? Thanks. Oh, man. Well, that's a perfect transition into talking about this episode, huh?
Yeah, so this episode was, like we said earlier, not a lot of action, but a lot of like internal moments. But I'm going to pass it over to James and let him sort of break into it. And then we can kind of go synopsis off.
Synopsis time.
Yeah.
So the episode, there's basically like kind of two halves to it. It's not split in half, but there's kind of two focus areas. One of them is pretty much all of the stuff that's brewing between the scouts and the younger scouts versus Hanji, who, you know, the younger scouts are supporting Aaron. And they're actually like leaking info about his imprisonment to try to stew dissent amongst the civilians. And of course, Hanji has to like figure out like what to do with them and, you know, how much trouble they're going to end up causing, because they're very clearly not in favor of keeping Aaron locked up. Yeah. And there's also like there's it's another table setting episode where there's a lot of stuff that's like being set up, but we don't really know how it's going to pay off. Mm-hmm. Like the I just forgot her name, but the ambassador from Hizuru, came back to Paradis and it's like, hey, by the way, over the past couple years, we've developed this flying machine with the Iceburst Stone, and it's going to be like the key to the Rumble.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. All of these things are like little snippets that happen throughout the episode. I was like, oh, okay, they'll come back to that and pull the sheet off of it, and we'll get to see what it is. And then they never come back
to it. No, we have to wait for that. And so there's that. There's an after credit scene that also more ties into this, where we actually find out that I'm forgetting. Oh, Pock and Porco and Piek and all of the other Eldians and Marley are basically wise to Zeke's schemes. And Reiner is very especially in favor of striking back at Paradis while the iron is hot.
I missed this, but I did watch it. Yeah, because they're discussing whether to wait until they have backup from other countries to go attack, to retaliate against Paradis, or whether to just go alone. And they're trying to figure out which one Zeke is prepared for. Like, they think Zeke is relying on them waiting so that he can get something else ready for them. So they think they should hurry because they'll catch them off guard.
Yeah.
Is, I guess, what they essentially decide. So, like, yeah, war is totally on the horizon.
War is a brewing. Yeah. And then there was one more scene, and maybe, like, and this is an area where maybe my, like, expertise is lacking, and maybe someone in the chat can answer this question. But one of the scout, one of the younger scouts that is in favor of releasing Aaron, her name's Louise, and she gets imprisoned. And she and Mikasa have, like, this kind of tense exchange where she's explaining that Mikasa like inspired her during the Battle of Trost, and she's been following in Mikasa's footsteps ever since.
Mikasa's and like, shut up.
Yeah. Have we ever seen Louise before? Because that was a character where the show was kind of acting like she'd been a character that had been around for a long time. And I honestly could not remember her.
That Mikasa saved her or something.
Was that back in like season one?
Did that actually happen, or did they create that scene for that moment?
Right,
I didn't know if it was a flashback or if they had created that scene for that moment, because if they made that connection, like, that's pretty dope. But I didn't know. Like, I was like, oh, did they make that up right now, or did that actually happen? So I don't know.
Theo in the chat is saying that Louise was a minor one scene character from the first season, which
that did happen. Okay,
so she's like, that's like a deep cut then.
Very deep cut.
Yeah. That's an extremely deep cut.
Yeah.
Last episode they had that thing where Mikasa's symbol was on her hand, and that conveniently, you know, it had technically been mentioned in the manga, but the anime never got around to it.
Yeah.
So I just didn't know if that was another thing where she'd shown up in the manga a bunch, but this is, you know, now she's important, so we're getting to meet her, but it looks like no.
So I'm like, maybe just forgot this stuff, but maybe you both can refresh me on it. So Zeke is with them, but like, we haven't really seen him. Right. So like, what is his deal? Where is he? And then how did the Marleyans find out that Zeke betrayed them? Like, do you think it's just kind of like, I was like, cause I'm a little lost.
So they know Zeke is still alive because when they went to go recover his corpse, all they found were his limbs. Now that weirded me out, cause I don't remember him missing limbs on the airship. So is he sans like arms and legs? Cause that's what they found. And so is he just like, you know, like, is he like a quadriplegic amputee at this point? Because I almost want to go back to the airship episode, you know, when Sasha gets killed, and rewatch it just to see if they show Zeke's arms, hands, or legs at any point, because he's sitting. And I
he's like kneeling, like
You're right.
He was kneeling. Oh my gosh, what if they did do that?
He was kneeling. If he's like a quadriplegic at this point, like.
But he'd grow it back, right?
Yeah, he'd just grow it back, I think.
Okay. That was a term that
I was like, what are they going to do with the holding hands thing? Now he doesn't have hands. It's like, a little backpack sort of situation. And then just like,
yeah.
I didn't think of that though.
You're right. He was on his knees. So maybe that, maybe he did. Like they are, what do you call it? Levi
degenerated.
So then, but like, why haven't we seen him at all? Like hanging out with the Eldians or whatever. Like, is he like in prison? Like Aaron is.
I would think they have him imprisoned. Like Aaron is. They don't want them to touch, so I think they're keeping them separated.
I think he's still out in the woods where Levi left him.
Oh right, yeah, that's right. Levi left him out.
Yeah, okay.
They show his arms or legs then either. I don't remember if they've been like conveniently like. Just like showing, I need to know. Like stick him up in like a treehouse and like leave him there? He can't get down. Like,
that would be funny. They just tie him to a branch and just sort of he's just kind of like twirling.
Oh my god, no, stop! I can't. Okay, so then, so Peck or Peek, am I saying her name wrong? I feel so bad. And Porco. Do they know that Zeke betrayed them, or they're just kind of like, we don't know where he is?
They know.
So they know.
They know so, that he, like, that they only found his limbs and he's gone. And so the conclusion that they came to is that he's
super suspect. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
So then, so Reiner's going to lose it.
Yeah. He's real mad. Yeah.
He mad.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I.
That's why he's like, we need to invade now. I've been made a fool of. I have a lot of guilt and other
issues.
Yeah.
You know who's more mad about Zeke's betrayal? Speaking of Gabby. A convenient segue, Gabby. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Gabby's mad.
This was a Gabby episode. I have a lot of thoughts.
On the rabbit hole of Gabby. So Lindsay, James and I were in like our pre-show meeting a little bit earlier than you. And we were just like, man, like last episode, you know, all of us were like, oh, Gabby is misunderstood. And like, you know, a lot of people hate her and, you know, that's not really justified. Like, and, you know, we were defending her ferociously. Yeah. Like we were very much on her side. And then I'm watching this episode. I'm like, Gabby, you ain't helping me at all, girl. Like you are not helping me at all. Like you are just being like the most right now. But I did say to James, like, I still felt a lot of sympathy for her because without question, I mean, this is a child who was raised to be completely ashamed of like who she was and was trained to be a war machine. You know what I mean? Like, so there's like, you still got to feel bad for her, but you're just like, when you see the juxtaposition between her and Falco, you're just like, whoa. Right.
Right.
But I also thought that was really interesting because, you know, you see people in the same situation, but they digest it completely differently. They evolve from it very differently. And that's like exactly what we're seeing here,
right. You
know? And I thought that it was a really beautiful juxtaposition. But I'm very worried about Gabby. Like this girl is on the edge of like, I mean, she's already had a mental breakdown, but like, this is like, I don't even know what's going to happen to this girl next. Like I'm very concerned about her.
So Gabby is in like,
Gabby's
in like, an extremely volatile position. And I mean, I was extremely frustrated with her during this episode too, because sometimes I was like, please just listen to Falco. Like he's really doing what's best for you. You need to stop. Like, like take it down. Like, I don't know, all the notches actually. Yeah. You're just like,
take it down, girl.
Yeah, take it down. So with Gabby, the conclusion that I've come to is sort of like, she's got a very complicated relationship with her personal identity, right? Because she's been brainwashed essentially into thinking that she is guilt, you know, carries the guilt of her ancestors for the wrongs that they've committed. She's a lesser human being, and that the only way that she can establish herself as anything close to someone worthy of love and respect is by proving herself not like these other Eldians. I'm not like them. I'm sorry about what happened, and I'm for the Marleyan cause. And it's very similar to to me, it seemed very similar to almost like religious zealotry, like these people who get into cults and such, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, like to
she's brainwashed.
Yeah, she's definitely brainwashed. And it's like she's that propaganda has been totally internalized by her, like 100% internalized. And so when so she can't even like she can't even accept the possibility that there are good Eldians outside of the ones that are like her and chosen, because if she accepts that, then her entire worldview and personality, like everything she's built around herself, would fall apart. Because it would mean that the abuse that she suffered for being an Eldian and everything she's told about being Eldian is a lie. And that means all the effort that she's put into to be a good Eldian would have been for naught. And so that's huge. That would explode everything. Like, that's why it's very difficult to get people out of cults and stuff. It's also sort of like, for like a really basic example, you ever bought what they call a lemon, you buy a car and you just keep dumping money into it to fix it. It's like your project car. And you've dumped so much money into it at this point that you can't stop dumping money into fix it, because then you'd have to like cut your losses. Yeah. It's like that. But
this
on,
sounds
like
a bad romance.
That hits close to home.
It's like that, but it's her entire like persona.
Yeah.
So that's where she's at right now. And then, you know, there's the extra tricky situation, because she doesn't know this, but she's currently staying at the farm of the family of the woman that she shot. So, like, she's eating dinner at the dinner table with Sasha's parents and all the cute orphans they've adopted to work on their farm, because they've, you know, adopted, like, they've taken up, like, almost like a charitable organization after their daughter died to sort of, like, provide for war orphans. And then they take it in and they give them
food. That is a mean twist in that story.
Yeah.
Well, how is that going to play out? Like, James, like, how in the hell is that going to play out?
No more spoilers.
No spoilers, chat. But I think it's not too hard to predict at least a little bit, because the show has been really consistent in how, you know, for all of its faults, right? And for any of the perceived, you know, political missteps that you can maybe attribute to it, I think it's been really consistent in how it shows that the number one thing that destroys, like, the systemic political machine of bigotry and hatred and war is empathy, right? Like, as soon as you start having empathy for the others that you've been, you know, making into monsters your entire life, that wall has to come down, because you either have to decide that you're not capable of seeing the other side as human, or once you start to let them in, like you said, Lindsay, that whole facade that you've been building up, it just can't stand up to the pressure of it. And not only are Sasha and Falco at the home of the Browses, Sasha's parents, but they make friends with specifically Kaya, who is the young girl that Sasha saved back in season 2, I want to say episode 2, maybe? The one where Sasha had to take on a Titan pretty much
James,
by herself.
Your taco just came out so hard there. You're like, season 2, episode 2.
I only know because I looked it up earlier when I was writing the review. So I it's fresh in my mind. But so they meet Kaya, who not only is an Eldian that has suffered terribly, right? Her mother was horribly killed by the invasion of Titans that Reiner and Annie and Bertholdt caused. But, you know, she's been having to live with the knowledge that, like, it basically happened for no reason, right? Like, you know, her mother died because of this stupid, terrible Titan invasion. And even when she learns that Gabby and Falco are from Marley, because they're not subtle about it, Gabby keeps yelling about it every chance that she gets.
Let me just blow my cover.
Yeah, she doesn't, you know, she doesn't rat them out. She doesn't turn them in, but she does take them to her home to be like, hey, like, I want you to know exactly what I went through here. I want you to hear how my mother died. I want you to see what we lost because of what you did, what your, you know, what your side did.
Yeah, your side. Yeah.
And they,
God, that image. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Peter.
And then she says, I want you to look me in the eye and I want you to tell me that my mother deserved to die like that because of these things that you say my ancestors did 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And Gabby tries because, like you said, she is indoctrinated. She kind of feels like she has to believe that, no, like, you deserve this. Like, you earned this punishment. That's why I've been having to go through all of this hell on my side in order to prove myself. But as the conversation goes on, and like we've been saying, Falco is the MVP of the episode. Seriously. You know, Falco is the one that says, no, like, your mom didn't deserve this. Like, none of this was right. Yeah. You died also, because we screwed up on our end, and that's what happened, and it was pointless. And I think that, you know, as far as making predictions go, I'd like to think, because I do think Gabby is such a great character, I'm hoping that she can have that wall start to crumble, because, I mean, who's going to, like, look at Kaya crying and screaming there and tell her that, no, your mom deserved what happened to her? Right. I mean, Gabby did, but... You know,
and it was Falco. Falco was the one who had to make the hard call and say that, you know, there was no reason for it. It kind of mirrors the confrontation that Aaron and Reiner had earlier when Aaron confronted Reiner about, like, why did my mother have to die? Why did, you know, why did she have to be eaten? Like, what does she have to do with any of this? And that's the same. Kaya has the same story. I also want to add that Theo pointed out that the Titan that ate Kaya's mom is implied to have been Connie's dad.
Oh, okay.
Because there's that scene.
That's right.
Where, like, Connie returns to his hometown, and that was his mother, I think, he saw as a Titan, and she's just, like, lying on the house or something like that. Yeah. So, I mean, that's back in, like, season three.
But season two, I think.
I think it was two. Yeah, I think it was even earlier than that. You know, one thing that, like, so we all know, we say this every episode, Jackie just loves the action. There's no action, you know, but this interaction between Kaya and Gabby was just, like, shook me so much emotionally. I just think that I was just, when we saw them just, like, screaming at each other, like, I was shook, like, to my core, you know what I mean? Because you just see these two very young women just hurt so badly, and both of them just want answers and don't understand, like, why they've had to see this and why they've had to go through this. It was very, very hard to watch, and, like, it like, got me. And also, like, just, like, the emotional intelligence of, like, these very, very young people. Like, we were talking about Falco, and, you know, he keeps uncovering for Gabby because she's, like, obviously, like, really on the edge there. But even the scene with Kaya where she, like, Gabby gets, like, the pitchfork, and I'm like, they're screwed. It's over. Like, you know, I was like, Falco, you did your best, dude. Like, it's all going down. Like, it's about to just be awful. And then Kaya was like, oh, he, like, you know, made up that whole, like, flirting story or whatever. Like,
really, yeah, she's like, oh, she thinks I'm stealing her brother from her or something like that.
Yeah, and I was just like, the thing about this show that just, like, gets me constantly is just, like, you know, we see so much evil in it. We see, like, so many horrible things happen, and people make horrible mistakes, like, on both sides. You know, like, there's not even, like, a good side anymore, you know? But then we see, like, these people do things that are just, like, so good, and it just, like, shakes you so much, you know?
Falco's a very good boy, and, like, he deserves a good home, and he deserves cookies, and he deserves nice parents and a happy Christmas. Like, he's a...
And then Aaron manipulated him and exploited him. I'm like...
Yeah. That's true.
I gotta say, the running joke of Falco just, like, moaning, like, Gabby's name in exasperation every time she does something really dumb. She's, Gabby, no, what are you doing?
Oh my god, this screenshot right now.
Props to the horse, though. Like,
that horse who was
Gabby needed that. Yeah, Gabby needed that, though, for sure. Like, I was like, okay, horse, like, let's bring her back. like she's losing it here. This, honestly, this show, this episode, it did have comedy in it, which I was like, God, we needed that a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it made me cry at the end. So, you know, the comedy was short-lived, but at least they, like, squeezed it in there somehow. So
yeah.
I mean, you know, we didn't talk about this at all, or we kind of touched on it, but, like, Hanji, like, I just, like, love her so much, and
she's between, like, or sorry, it's actually they, like, the creator has been won't define the character's gender and has said that like, I don't.
They identify as they.
He just says that he uses they. I don't remember if he gave like a reasoning for it, but he. That's just like Hanji's gender is undefined.
Yeah.
So
I think Isayama's request was to either use they or to use he and she in equal like proportion.
It's probably probably simpler to use they than some people are like, hey, wait, did you switch? Why are you switching?
Yeah. yeah.
Anyways, Fina Hanji.
Hanji, I feel really bad for them. They're like between a rock and a hard place. Like you can tell they don't feel emotionally equipped to make the really difficult decisions that they're tasked to make because they have to make judgment calls on like the stuff going on with Aaron. trying to not, you know, because if they don't handle the Aaron situation, they could end up with a minor like factioning off between, you know, who thinks
for sure
that's the right thing to do, or, you know, you get enough people behind it, they could try to spring Aaron out of jail, and then you're dealing with, you know, that. And so they're trying to like quell that, but also be like respectful to the feelings that people are having about, you know, because they want justice and stuff like that. So poor Hanji.
I just was like, what's brewing here? You know what I mean? Like, obviously, like these people are staunch supporters of Aaron. And, you know, like, I still don't know what's going on with Aaron. And I'm scared to see what's going to come from him.
Yeah,
you know,
he took a back seat in this episode. But
for sure.
They also started interrogating the tall lady.
Yelena? Yelena.
Yelena.
I was going to say Yolanda, and I knew it was wrong. Yelena. Yes, because they're implying that Yelena is actually the one leaking the information, if I was right about that. James, is that true?
It kind of ties back to last week when that one military official was theorizing that Yelena was the one who orchestrated Historia's pregnancy.
They're just suspicious of her because she's an outsider, because she's not Marlian not Eldian.
I don't know. I'll be honest. And again, this is this might just be because I haven't read the manga, or it might just be because there are things that I'm not catching as far as the very complicated machinations of the plot. But I am still a little fuzzy on like what the specific cause for conflict between I know they arrested Zeke, obviously, and that's a problem, and they detained all of the Marlian volunteers, but I'm still a little fuzzy on like what the goals of the Marlian volunteers are as far as like their end game, and how like in what key ways that differs from what the Paradis people are shooting for now. And I know a lot of it just has to do with who has control of the rumbling and to what ends they're going to use it, whether or not they're going to use it as a deterrent or like an actual weapon of destruction.
But the flight technology that they didn't show us but mentioned is supposedly they plan to use it to watch the rumbling, she was saying. So it's like they're going to get a bird's eye view of like exactly what the rumbling test is all about, I suppose.
Yeah.
But as far as like the volunteer the Marlians that have now become prisoners to the Eldians on Paradiso, like I feel like something with that is coming up, and it all goes back to Niccolo and his poison wine, because I think he's gonna I think he's got machinations going on. Ooh. Because
well, that's another thing though, like are the POW Marlians that are presumably maybe working against the Paradis Eldians, are they in cahoots with the Marlian volunteers, or are they, because the Marlian volunteers are still ostensibly after the destruction of Marley. Mm-hmm. And so like, are the volunteers and the other POWs working together, or are they, do they have different goals? Like, and I think a lot of that is stuff that's still up in the air.
Yeah. I think we're going to find out, because, Kaya tells Gabby and Falco that they got invited to a restaurant and that they should be able to talk with them there about finding a way to get back to Marley. And my assumption is that restaurant is going to be where Niccolo is at.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to re-enter the picture there, and we might get some answers to that. Or he's going to poison everyone.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, yeah, because he was pretty much in love with Sasha. That was, that was kind of the implication. Does he know that Gabby and Falco killed her? Because is he going to poison them?
Oh my god. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point, too.
There's just like so much that needs to happen. And okay, this is maybe a dumb question, but do we know how many episodes? Like, is this going to be 13, like 20? Like how much time do we have left here?
I feel like it was a weird number. Like, I'm feeling like it's like 16. It
was 18. Sorry, because I was like, are we running out of time here? Because like, yes. It just seems like things
that means we've got really quickly. You know, that means we've got seven weeks left, so like a month and some change.
Okay,
before
everyone that has read the manga, the one piece of consensus that I've seen is that at the pace the show is going, there's no way it's going to actually finish the story. Mm-hmm. So we're either going to get a part two like they did with season three, or maybe we're going to have to wait for a movie.
Attack on Titan, the final. Don't do an ending movie.
Don't do an ending movie. Don't
no, because those never get streamed like as soon, and you have to wait longer.
It just ruins the
pirate it.
It does.
And then I'll have to be like la 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 la. Like watch it on. Well, Crunchyroll's done movies before, so
they're doing them a little more. I'm hoping that, you know, depending on how things go with COVID and everything, they've been even getting a little bit better at like the theatrical releases.
Yeah.
We were supposed to get Infinity Train before all
there's
that.
There's a website for the English release now, and I keep like hitting refresh, and then it's like coming soon. I'm like, but how about now?
Or yeah. Now? So I kind of want to know, what do you guys think is going to happen next? I love Lindsay's theory, which I think is actually going to happen.
Like, the one where Niccolo poisons everyone, or the one where
Aaron is going to eat everybody. And like, so I'm not going to lie, I kind of like, I fan fictioned your idea. And I think Reiner is going to, you know, come to the Island of Parody, like one way or the other, like with his like motley crew, or like by himself, because he's just going to be like so mad, you know?
Yeah.
And him and Aaron are going to have like the ultimate face off, which I don't remember when it was, like two or three episodes ago when he finally woke up. I got so damn excited because I was like, this is what I've been waiting for my whole life. I feel like is just to see them just like tear each other apart. You know what I mean? And then of course, like what happened, like everything like fell apart, you know, and then they ended up not. But, like, so they're going to have like their big face off. And then I think Reiner is just going to like, kind of like, they're just gonna like beat each other to a bloody pulp, and then Reiner's just gonna be like, dude, just like eat me and end this, and like I'm so sorry for like everything I did to you. And I think it's gonna be this like giant like forgiveness scene, and then Aaron's gonna be like, I don't want to do this, and I love you, bro, but like, this is what we have to do. And then he's gonna eat him, and I'm gonna be just like crying hysterically. So that's my conspiracy theory. But then
Mikasa has to kill Aaron at the end to like make the whole emotional thing go all the way forward, and then they're gonna give him like a, I'm just going way out of here, but I think if Aaron dies, he will definitely be put out to sea, because that will like also cycle back to the whole ocean thing. Because
that was
for so long was to get to the edge of the island and see the ocean. And so when he dies, that's where he will go.
Thematically,
like get all the cinematic like plot ideas all tied together. That's what
so
I would
what
do.
What we said doesn't happen. Our ending was better. That's all I'm going to say.
That doesn't happen. I'm going to write a strongly worded letter and send it to Kodansha, the publisher of the manga, and be like, you know, I know you guys don't pay me for this, but I just thought you needed my input. You didn't do it right. I know you're going to get a lot of letters like this that say that, but for real, you didn't do it right. Here's how it should have been. And then Isayama's going to be like, yes, she's correct. We have to change it. Pull all of the copies.
No, what's really going to happen is Aaron and Zeke are going to touch hands.
Okay.
And then they're going to combine into a giant white figure that's like the size of the Earth, right? And then everyone else is going to turn into Tang, the orange drink, the orange liquid.
This is just then, an the James.
What? No, it's completely different. It's completely different from the Evangelion. And then they're all going to get transported to like a modern day Japan world where air doesn't exist. And then a German song called Komm Süßer Tod is going to play, and it's going to have this weird exposition because it's like a really happy sounding song, but it's about death. There's going to be a lot of phallic imagery. I'm just spitballing here, just penises everywhere in space, kind of penis monsters. Now that I'm saying it out loud, maybe it's a little similar to Eva, but in execution it'd be different.
When you said they all turned to Tang, I just died. I was like, no, he didn't. Oh, man. Which is funny because we were all talking during our pre-show meeting and talking about how great Evangelion is. So maybe they're just going to be like, let's just copy that. Like, let's just do that. Don't go wrong there. Lordy.
Or maybe the character from that young adult novel that I reviewed way back when will like show up as like a crossover. The girl from that that officially licensed English language YA romance novel from Attack on Titan.
And then she'll
show up and she'll kill all the Titans.
A ton of stuff for Anime News Network. Which book is he talking about? Where is this going?
It's called the actual like Attack on Titan. Garrison Girl.
Yeah,
it's coming back. It's they're waiting for it, but that crossover is coming.
The series should end, and then they should just make the movie like you were talking about, but then you don't know until you go to see it. It's just an adaptation of Garrison Girl. And everyone's like, or is the ending of Attack on Titan. Like,
so we have some great comments here, by the way. Anime NYC says, James ruins everything, which I had to read out loud. and then Firechart says, I don't think Aaron dies in the end. So, I mean, we all are just guessing here, so who knows? Yeah. Gabriella said, and then Armin wakes up and Parody is a snow globe.
Yes.
Gotta get that Citizen Kane stuff. Oh in there too. My
gosh. But I mean,
and we're all from American cinema.
Was that St. Elsewhere? Was that the show? The hospital show where it was all in the mind of a boy looking in a snow globe?
I was thinking of
ER, right? Stud
for some reason. Oh,
which one was it? It was a hospital show. I can't remember now. Was it ER?
I think it was St. Elsewhere.
I remember it was a hospital show. You're right. Yeah. But anyway, we're all just guessing here, folks.
Oh, I'm going to say Furor, because I'm thinking it's like horror, but with an F. Wants to know what we all thought about Mikasa's flashback scene. Yeah, that was just in the episode for like a quick minute where like Mikasa has like a PTSD moment when she remembers that like Eren killed two grown adults to save her and then was like, are we good now? And I felt like they were trying to kind of connect his current self with his childhood self to maybe say like, this has always sort of been there, this tendency.
Maybe, but yeah.
Well, this is on me again for not watching season one in 7 years, but was that, cause a lot of times when shows do that, that like, and the way it was framed, or she like, you know, she had like a headache and it was like a vision.
Yeah.
Was it like showing a different version of those events than what we saw before? Because I mean, that's what I remembered it being, is him killing those guys. But
yeah, I mean, I also haven't watched season one since it aired, and I did remember that he definitely killed two dudes to rescue her from a cabin, and they were holding her hostage.
Yeah,
I think because of her ethnicity, because of because I think they figured out that she was, I mean, it's not Azuma Bito. I think they figured that out. And I think that had something to do with her being kidnapped. And Eren definitely went and saved her solo. I thought he knocked them unconscious. Maybe he did murder them, though.
Because I couldn't tell if it was like, is it showing us that, like, he actually has been, like, way more violent and bloodthirsty than
I felt like that's what it was trying to say. It's like, ever since he was young, like, if he felt he was justified, he would totally just, you know,
lose it.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. And also because there was that scene where Mikasa, you know, after Eren just like wreaked havoc and like killed children and just didn't give an F. And then she was like, you have gone past the point. Remember, like she's like talking to him and she's like, you've just gone like past this point now. Like just FYI, you know? And I think like it is really interesting because we're all like, you know, I keep on bringing up, I'm like, where is Eren at? But there are all these other players. Like we were talking about Hanji and like Mikasa, and it's like, where are they at when it comes to what is going on with Eren? Which is that definitely that scene I think is bringing that up. Also, I thought that scene was also showing just like how much trauma all these young people have gone through. Cause right. The young girl was like talking to her about like what, how, oh, I wanted to be like you when I saw you. And then like Mikasa's like, dude, that was traumatic for that girl. I got my trauma. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, that's what I thought it was kind of driving home too. But the whole aspect of like, is she starting to doubt Eren? Dude, what if like Mikasa turns on Eren? That would be,
I don't know if she can. I feel like she's like ride or die for him.
I agree.
Like to the point where it's kind of not healthy.
I 100% agree.
Like it could very easily, if it's not already, be perceived as almost like an abusive relationship. Like she will just let him, doesn't matter how far he falls, like she'll just go down with him and try to drag him back up. But I mean, after you do that so long with a person, eventually you're just living down there with them. Like,
yeah. Oh my God. Guys, we're getting so heavy and we're five minutes over.
We even did less news this time. There's just
go back to the picture with Gabby getting bitten by the horse.
Go back to the horse.
That'll lead us out.
Palate cleanser.
By the way, that horse scared me. Its eyes were crazy. I can't.
Da 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 da.
No. Names of the music. My goodness. Anyway, this just, it keeps on hitting. Like I'm waiting for us to have like an episode where I'm like, this one stunk, you guys. And I'm just like, knock on wood, you know, maybe that's gonna happen like now.
Is your head made out of wood, Jackie?
Yes, it's there's not a lot going on here. Like, let's be honest, guys. I'm just kidding.
Watch, you just jinx us. Next week it's gonna be like the Poochie episode. We're going to get the Poochie episode of Attack on Titan.
Oh, Lord.
I thought, like, if we ever got an episode where, like, for some reason nothing happened, I was like, all right, we'll just talk about Wonder Egg this episode.
I'm here for it. Actually, it's funny. The chat was, like, wants to get our opinion on a bunch of different anime. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm glad that they're enjoying the discussions with us.
Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. We'll definitely, after this show, or after this anime wraps, we will definitely have another anime. Most likely it might be My Hero Academia or it might be something else. I'm not really sure yet. There's a lot of really good stuff coming up in spring, which will, if you're not sure what you want to watch in spring, we don't have a date set yet, but probably coming up next month, we'll have our tri-monthly. Is that a thing? Our tri-monthly, anyway, season trailer guide, season trailer preview, watch along.
That's the most fun, by the way. That James, is the most fun. Come here for that. That
was
hilarious.
It's usually like 2 hours, and we watch every single, well, we watch the most recent trailer for every single show that's going to air. So for this upcoming one, it'll be the spring season. It's a great way to get acquainted with like what is going to air and what you want to watch for.
That'd be good for me because whenever we have to write our most anticipated for the season articles, I almost always end up having to do that anyway because I'm like, I don't know what's coming out this season. I need to watch a bunch of trailers.
I always wait till the very end to do the trailers. So, for the show, because since it's fun, but it'll probably be My Hero Academia. Maybe I've got to catch up on it though before it premieres because I fell off last season, so I need to pick back up, which is awful because it had a really great villain last season, but I just
The overhaul arc was great and then it just went into filler town and I got a little annoyed, but there was some developments with Endeavor and Todoroki who I'm like, father
dude,
issue
that is like a whole can of worms. Like we've been talking about trauma Attack on Titan and then we'll get to talk about worst anime dad 2021. Endeavor's stupid ass, so
you know the voice actor for him though, the English voice actor, he's so lovable.
He is a really nice guy.
Yeah,
I think that is that Patrick Seitz.
That's who it is. But it's so funny.
Yeah, he's nothing like the character, but he has a very deep bass
perfect voice.
So it's perfect for the character. But he's nothing like child abuser, Endeavor,
selfish. Self-motivated.
He smacks his kids around. Smacks his wife around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drives her to insanity. Yeah, he's pretty much the worst.
Yeah.
And then he's trying to get redemption. I mean, now I'm getting excited for My Hero Academia. I'm just
Anyway. We can have long conversations about whether Endeavor deserves to be forgiven or not. Spoiler, he doesn't. So
We all know Lindsay ain't forgiving him. She poisoned.
You need to give him a goblet of that wine. Yeah. He's next step for the wine.
Exactly.
I need to start having an anime character list, kind of like a Death Note. But
who would Lindsay assassinate if she was the head of the anime mafia? Would she have?
People already say that I cursed the Seattle Seahawks. So I mean, why not? I might as well just like embrace that whole.
They've always been cursed. That's not you. That's just them.
It's funny because we're in Washington. It's like one of my dad's favorite teams. So I would get in big trouble if I hexed the Seahawks. So.
Oh no, my dad was a huge Seahawks fan too. So.
Gabby brought up 2 Year Eternity is next season, and that would be a great way for me to make Jackie watch 2 Year Eternity, because that's the one I told you about that is super super sad, and is about that like extraterrestrial like being. He comes down to Earth and he's like a baby. He doesn't know anything about humanity or anything like that. Yeah. And then so he's trying to learn about it, and through that he experiences all kinds of tragedies which allow him to sort of develop.
That sounds terribly sad.
It is. I've read the manga.
At the end of the day, the next Gohan's anime is out next season, and I think
we're not ever doing a Gohan's anime, James. That's never going to happen.
Suffering for?
Nothing.
What was it for?
My amusement, mostly.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
Gabby just said Thunderbolt Fantasy Season 3 too, which I'm like, I would so be on board with that.
I didn't know that you've watched Thunderbolt Fantasy, Jackie.
No, I have not, but I've watched the trailers and like clips of it, and I'm literally like, this is the best thing ever. I actually don't know where to watch it. Like, where
you can
is
watch it on Crunchyroll.
You can? Okay.
Yeah.
Need to. I mean... Yeah. That was actually
all the guy characters in that are your type.
Oh, beautiful.
Your kind of puppet. Yeah.
Also, the opening song is, I literally listen to that when I work out. And I haven't even watched it. And I'm like, okay, I'm going off the rails here, everybody. We got to wrap up.
Yeah, we've gotten all the way to puppets now at this point. We're pretty far off from Attack on Titan. All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in to the Anime News Network After Show powered by Anime NYC. We'll be back next Monday at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. But until then, you're going to want to head over to Kimono Merch to get your Anime News Network official goods and check out our newsletter at www.animenewsnetwork.com/newsletter, and also follow us on social media and YouTube. And click that little bell thing, because it'll give you an alert for when we're... Yeah, Jackie's like, bell thing, Lindsay.
Smash
I'm not it. The social media manager. You can tell who we hire for that. It's this lady, because I don't know what I'm doing. All right. But thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.